Dear Shooter, we all know that planning a trip can be as chaotic as a herd of stampeding elephants. But fear not, because we've got it under control. Well, sort of. Your favorite hosts are gearing up for their wildest adventure yet. We're packing our bags and heading straight to the enchanting Terra wildlife in beautiful South Africa. Hold on tight, because this is going to be one epic journey filled with laughter, thrill, and of course, some unforgettable hunting stories. As always, the show must go on in our absence. We have some interesting topics the next few weeks, so you won't even miss us. Be sure to check out our social media for updates and hilarious tales from our escapades in South Africa. This is going to be a trip to remember.
It's not about protecting the stupid. It's just, it is what it is.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm a self-identifying llama. And it's because I have a quick temper and I like to spit.
You are not safe and you are not sacred and you're both liars.
We're talking about firearms, y'all.
Keep it clean.
I can hide one under there.
One what? I want to know.
I look like I got ran over by a paint truck on the way to Sherwin-Williams and then backed over by the short bus.
You know, let's talk about the modern trends in transsexual transitions.
Welcome to the Deer Shooter Podcast. Deer Shooter is brought to you by WyoTech, empowerment through self-reliance, and by Lucid Optics, on target, under budget.
Well, you know, speaking of rampaging elephants, how was your 4th of July weekend?
We blew stuff up.
We blew stuff up. And then I broke, I think, everything we took camping.
We blew people up.
That came close. It was like a bloody nose. And yeah.
Yeah.
No, we had a good time. The parade was always a great time. It's nice to see the community come out and support the folks in the pavilion.
The funny thing about that, though, was I think 90% of the community was in the parade. There was only like 8 people watching.
Yeah, so yeah, about the whole town's in the parade. That's about right.
No, talk about planning a trip, and we'd gone up on top of the mountain and went camping over the weekend, and just total comedy of errors. You know, first thing I did was I backed the camper across a tree, ripped off part of the trim, and so I got to fix that. And then we were getting out, and I was turning tight to try and avoid a ditch, so I didn't put the camper in the ditch, and turned a little too tight. And busted the tail light on my truck, and and then coming home, Brandy calls me because she's in the truck behind me. She was hauling the side by side. She calls me and she goes, "You're probably going to have to check this truck when we get home because I just hit a really big bird." And I'm just thinking, why not?
Wow! And so you're like the guy that I know that handles a trailer about as good as anybody, and you broke a taillight on your truck and hit a tree.
Yep.
Was this like really technical driving with a trailer, or did you just start drinking early?
No, it was pretty tight and technical in there. There was a lot of trees. It's a new property that was acquired by some family members, and they haven't really cleared it out much, so it's tight.
I keep telling him that camping is where you spend thousands of dollars to live like you're homeless.
Yeah, that's about right.
And I definitely did. Yikes.
One of your family members had to siphon water from your camper to their camper?
Had a flood? Yeah, my niece flooded the bathroom.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no.
Yeah, fortunately, it was like on the last night, so... Wasn't that big a deal. But yeah, I mean, it's just, but you know, they say that it comes in threes, right? So I broke the lawnmower last week. I broke the trailer and I broke the truck. So that's three. So that I should be done, right?
In theory.
For this month.
Yeah. Get that crap out of the way. Cause
just shut up.
We're about to jump off.
Yes.
Like off the continent.
I know.
So
I haven't even packed. I don't know what I'm going to wear.
Oh, my God. Such a girl.
Well, and I still haven't figured out what I'm going to, you know, hairstyles and things like that.
You might want to do some internet research before you get too crazy here, because I'm not sure that the folks in Johannesburg care.
Likely not. So, you know, scruffy it is.
Right. But all right, so pack them for a trip like this, right? We are going as far as we possibly can go without getting closer on the planet.
Right.
And you got to pack like you're leaving for 3 days, when in reality, we're going to be gone for 12.
Yeah.
By the time you add time
like
to travel and, yep, and actual time on country. So your packing's going to be a little bit lighter than you're comfortable with for the most part.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Because they will do laundry for you every day. You can just recycle your clothes.
Just make sure that you bring the underwear that's okay to be seen, because, you know, if you take a thong, they're going to hang that from the clothesline for everybody to see.
Well, that's how they dry their clothes. So, yeah.
It is. But, you know, just make sure you don't have clothes that you don't want presented.
And we learned this the hard way. How?
Because last time we went, our media people, she had her thongs hanging out there, and she was just livid.
A little self-conscious about her choice in undergarments?
I mean, the only thing is we can see it, but the ladies doing the laundry, they don't even speak English. So if they're talking about you, how are you going to know?
Right.
Just eliminate the problem. Go commando.
Everything in South Africa bites. I'm not sure that's a great idea.
If it's going to bite me, it's going to go through two layers. I mean, one layer, two layers, I don't think it's going to matter.
Well, I guess that's probably fair. I don't know, I feel more secure.
I think I'd want to tighten the package up for some of those rides, though, because what was it, chasing that warthog last time?
Last time, you hit a ditch. Well, I was in the truck, too, but we hit a ditch in an open field. We couldn't see. It was overgrown with grass at 40 miles an hour, standing up the back of a truck. And that'll realign everything that the chiropractor missed. I guarantee it.
Also, because I was ready to shoot, because I was after the warthog, so I was down on the bench on the metal bar and my arm, and I came back with a bruise from my elbow to my wrist.
Yeah, you were pretty bruised when you came back the last time.
I didn't even do it this time.
Who were we talking to that was in the hospital? Yeah, it was some friends of ours, and she had gone to the hospital for something, and she was bruised and battered and went in quite frequently, and the doctor had the gall to ask her how her marriage was, and not knowing her.
That's pretty ballsy.
This is just life.
And if it's the way I think it is, yeah, no, she doesn't get the bruises. She gives the bruises.
Yeah, typically, yeah.
So, South Africa, what are you all doing over there?
Well, I am going to be chasing sable.
Hunting.
Kudu. Yes. It is a safari. We are taking game animals. We are going to acquire the adventure. We will be donating meat to a special needs orphanage again this year.
Nice.
We're going to be visiting with some folks that became pretty good friends all the way around the other side of the world. Technology is great because you can stay in touch. But for me, it's about sable and kudu. I've got a couple other animals on my bike package that are going to be interesting, but those are the two high flyers for me.
And you're going after a sable.
I am going to, and I'm thinking that I should go early so I can spend the rest of the time in the nursery with Maddie.
Ah, baby lions and such.
She has 11 baby lions right now.
All right.
That's when they're touchable.
Well, thanks for ruining my plan.
You had a plan?
I had a plan.
You going to share your plan?
I was going to find that black Impala and hand her the rifle.
Oh, that's still a possibility.
Not if she's in the nursery.
Well, we'll see. I can't spend every day in the nursery. I mean, you can only pet him so long.
Yeah, right. Okay.
She will pet them and repet them and repet them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, there will be lots of different things going on at the nursery at Terra this time. So it won't be just baby lions, as I understand it.
I know she has some hyenas, but I think they're more like preteen.
They're getting to be old enough to be not manageable.
Not touchable.
Yep.
She always has caracals and servals.
Servals, yeah. I know she had a little Jaguar there for a while. I don't know. We'll see. I've seen photos of cheetah babies, too.
Here, kitty, kitty.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. That's...
Yep. You always say I'm going to die, but some I should.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. You're not adopting one again.
It wasn't bad.
No.
I just paid for food. I mean, I didn't have to do the rest of it.
Now, you had a conversation with one of our sheriff's deputies, and there's no regulation on you having a pet lion.
No, no statutory is whatever.
I really don't think the lion would like Wyoming winter.
Probably
their
not.
Winters are not as bad as ours.
No.
Can you imagine the blanket you have to find for that kitty cat?
Oh, my God.
We would not have any other animals.
No. No, we wouldn't.
And now, I don't think we could keep it in, because right now the fence they have it in, it's a gentleman's agreement.
You'd have to feed it every other day like they do, a whole cow.
Yeah.
And they have a little terrier dog that hangs out with the lions.
Yeah, for now. That's only because he smells funny, maybe?
Well, he's been there forever, so maybe he's out of respect because he's old.
Maybe.
Maybe.
That would be an interesting dynamic to see.
Yeah, the dog can't weigh 12 pounds.
So he's a nugget to them.
He's a wire hair angry nugget.
Remember last time we went there, we were on our way out to go on a hunt, and there was a Gemsbuck that was charging through the fence at the lions. And I'm like, it's a really ballsy Gemsbuck.
He had some spunk to him, yeah.
Because that was an entire pride, and he's just him.
Well, he didn't like him being that close, and he had no fear, none.
No, because when Rainier tried to run him off with the buggy, yeah, he charged the buggy.
Yeah, they're ornery.
Now, you guys came back with some video last time of the locals at feeding time.
Yes.
Now, watching that, those guys clank when they walk.
Absolutely right. There are two of those guys that they hop out of the buggy and they handle the gates. And the lions all know what's up. We're there with the truck, with the trailer, with a cow in the back. They know what's up. So they're all waiting right there at the gates, and they're staring you down. This guy reaches through the gap in the gate, smacks one of them on the nose, tells him to get out of the way.
Yikes.
The lion does. He opens the gate, points his finger at the lion. The lion kind of stood still as if he knew what the deal was. We drove through the gate. He went behind him and shut the gate. Very calmly got back up in the truck, and we moved on into the middle of the paddock to feed the lions. But there were 8 to 12 lions in that paddock, looking at him like, lunch?
Well, and I was talking about the video you had where the guys were running the wheelbarrow in with all the...
Oh, the
That wasn't
pieces.
My day. That was Brandy's day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was crazy, because now the food is actually not on an enclosed trailer. It's in a wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
But I feel like maybe these guys know that that's the food wagon guy, because it seems like the same guy does it every time. Now, when we fed the cow out of the trailer, we were in the back of the buggy. And they told us no arms, hands, nothing goes on the outside, no sudden moves, no sudden noises.
That's great advice when you have a 400-pound cat.
There was more than one.
Yeah. And it's interesting.
And interesting enough, it's the lionesses of the pride that do the majority of the hunting.
Yes. So when they let the gate down on the trailer, the head lioness
mm-hmm.
pulled the cow off by herself. And then she decides that she lets the boys eat first. And then she decides which females get to go next in order.
Crazy pecking order. Very interesting dynamic with lions.
The males have two jobs. They breed,
mm-hmm.
and they protect.
Mm-hmm.
That's the two jobs. It's good to be king.
Right?
One thing I had no idea that they did that was so amazing is every morning, just before the sun comes up, the head lion, he'll start roaring. And when he starts, his pride will answer. And now this is a sanctuary, so they have several paddocks of lions, and then the next paddock will join, and the next one will join. And this is something you feel in your chest, like you're at some sort of goth rave.
We tried to record that sound. It is actually so low that the microphones don't pick it up.
It doesn't. And then they do it again in the evening, too.
And I will tell you, laying there before sunrise, and that sound kicks off, and they're not 30 yards from your little cabin, shanty, whatever you want to call it. All the hair stands up on the back of your neck if you haven't heard it before, because that's a primal, this is really bad sound.
Didn't you tell me they had a bear?
They did, and they may still. Now with
he was getting old now.
He was getting old. Now, with them being a sanctuary, so what happened, sad to say, that this bear, I think he killed his previous owner. So, I mean, but they have, and Maddie walks right in with him.
Interesting.
She fed him marshmallows.
Yep.
He was happy. So back to packing, right? You're getting geared up. We're going to spend 7 days on the ground. What are you taking?
I haven't got the foggiest.
I mean, obviously, we're close. We, you know.
I'll take my typical it's like a heavy duck pants that I wear hunting here. You know, probably long sleeve shirts, a couple of jackets, because you know what evenings we're expecting mid-30s.
Yeah, it's their winter, so you can see temperature range swing from 30, 35 to 70, 75.
Right.
And so you dress in layers.
So it's late season antelope in Wyoming.
Yeah, that's about right. That's exactly about right.
You know, probably not a lot of insulating layers because it will be warm in the days, but I think full pants and sleeves are going to be in order.
Yep. Now, our listeners probably want to know what firearms we're taking. The neat thing is we don't have to. We left them there last time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we have a 6.5 PRC and a 300 PRC, both Shaw Mark 7s sitting there waiting. They are suppressed rifles with L5 optics on top, so we should be right at home.
Right.
You're going to take your Garmin so we can get some good data.
Mm-hmm.
That way we'll be able to know exactly what we're doing.
Right.
Because the data here is useless.
Oh, absolutely. Doesn't even come close.
For the listeners that don't know, we did it last year, and we have one gentleman doing it this year in our group. What's it like to take a firearm on an international trip?
Oh, yes.
It is a rodeo of paperwork, U.S. Customs, and then the South African police has a side of paperwork. It comes with a whole affidavit of ownership and pages filled out in triplicate and sign here and sign there and fingerprint this. And I mean, it's an exercise in bureaucracy. Now, they are allowed to own firearms in South Africa, but they are licensed and regulated to the teeth. It's not like here.
So it's right? Like California.
It's worse.
They have to have a license for each individual firearm. Mm-hmm. So most people only have one.
Yep. Yep.
So it's almost like us jumping through the hoops for, say, Class 3.
Very similar in a lot of ways, and that's just to take your stuff across the border. That's right. It.
Here's the difference. Our Class 3, like you're saying, suppressors, you can buy those at 7-Eleven down there because they don't care.
Right.
Now, you used to be able to, like we did, leave your firearms behind as a portion of your tip to the PH. That's no longer available without a whole lot more paperwork and paperwork for the PH. So you don't get to leave them in country anymore.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
No, but most hunting venues in South Africa do have firearms on hand. They're calibers that are needed for the animals that are there. So why would one bother to take their own?
Personal nostalgia is the only reason.
Well, they give you a sight-in day with their rifles.
I get it, though. I mean, I put a lot of effort and time and to rebuilding my hunting rifle. It'd be cool to take it over there and take game with that gun, but the hassle's just not worth the nostalgia.
It's really not anymore. It's not. Use what's on site is my simple advice.
Well, yeah. Well, and I know what's sitting on site, so it's not like I'm walking into what kind of a gun am I dealing with here?
Right. Well, and another thing no one thinks of is when we went and took them over, we hired what they called a fixer.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, things can get hinky.
So, yeah, we hired a fixer, and we're doing that again this year for the guy that's taking their firearm with our party. And all they really do is meet you at baggage claim. You pick up your bags. You go to customs. And this is very specific firearms side of the office for customs. And you show them your paperwork from the U.S. side. You show them your paperwork from the South African side. They inspect the firearms to make sure that the serial numbers match and the makes and models are all right. And they check your ammunition to make sure you have no more than 50 cartridges of the firearms you're bringing. If you're not bringing a firearm, you cannot bring ammo, which kind of put a wrench in our plans for some of the gifts we were going to give.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't treat those boys exactly right and know exactly what you're doing with the paperwork and the conversation you're about to have, South Africa can get to a sour taste real fast before you even get started.
Well, I think that's right. Right on went out of business.
Oh, I think that they may still be there. I don't know. They did not talk to the authorities in the proper tone.
Well, that's because they didn't pay the bills properly like we're about to do. The 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company, based in Vail, Colorado, high up in the Rocky Mountains. 10th Mountain is a tribute company to the legendary 10th Mountain Division, maker of fine spirits including bourbon, rye, and vodka, as well as being a generous supporter of the shooting sports and veterans charities. Support those that support us, and to make it easier, 10th Mountain is offering our listeners a discount. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 10% off. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company, whiskey worth fighting for.
And don't forget to tip your servers.
Always tip your servers if you want to be served again.
Right.
Or you don't want spit in it.
So that's not it. If you want to tip your servers, that's at the end of the transaction. If you'd want spit in your meal, that could be a problem and send it back more than once.
Well, unless you're a common entity at business. And you never tip.
So one thing that I'm really, really, really excited about after hearing about the last time you guys were there, I'm excited for the food.
The food was amazing. It really was. It was fantastic.
And it's so pure. It's not processed. It's made like even she did some sort of stew for us last year at a Springbuck, I think it was.
Yes.
The bread bowls she put it in, she made those. Everything is made there. They don't go to town and just pick up a frozen meal.
Well, in the grand scheme of things, the property runs a little remote, so there is no running to town. And the closest town is not really well serviced as far as amenities go.
I don't think there was a store.
If you really want that, you got to go to Kimberly, which is 2.5 hours away. So it's like, you know, Wyoming.
Right.
Yeah, and you talk about the food being pure, and I've kind of noticed that anytime you get out of, and I don't want to just say the United States because Canada has some truly awful food, but you get out of North America, and people don't put the preservatives and the crap that we put in our food, and it's always better.
One of the things I found traveling abroad is that the pace that people live at is a little slower,
mm-hmm.
with the exception of Japan. With that slower pace, that brings in a social aspect to meals.
Right.
And there's pride involved in bringing the best ingredients together in the best way and sharing that. That's a big deal. It's nothing to have a dinner take 4 hours. When you're traveling abroad. That's actually quite normal.
You know, you say Japan is fast-paced, but that meal, though, is still very, very important in that culture.
If you get a traditional meal, if they're trying to cater to and show off a little bit, yes, that traditional meal is quite spectacular. But if you don't get that, you were lucky to get a couple noodles out of a vending machine at the train station. And believe me, I've had them. They're good noodles. Don't get me wrong. Well,
yeah.
But yeah, that fast-paced, it does not breed the simple sharing of a meal like it does most other places.
Yeah. One thing I was looking forward to, I don't know if it'll happen, because you both told me that the ostrich was amazing.
Well, we have to talk somebody in the group to shooting one first.
Well, Rainier gave one away for her birthday last year.
He did. To and, Matt,
well, yep. Your birthday is the very last day we're on the ground, isn't it?
Yep. My birthday is why we're there. So it could happen, I suppose. And I would shoot at ostrich just to eat it. They were amazing.
But we have a new chef this year, so I don't know.
I know nothing about the new chef. I'm sure that Eleanor and Rainier would not get somebody that was a hack, but it is a new one. Nancy, the gal we had before, sweet as all get out, and the food was spectacular. I'm kind of a little nervous about the food this time going in. I know it'll be great. It just, it's not Nancy, and I have expectations now.
Well, stop that.
I know. But I do. I have expectations now.
Well, learn to live with disappointment. I mean, we had expectations when we had a layover in Paris. I was expecting, you know, pastries and cookies and good stuff, and nope. We had
sushi
and boba tea.
That's funny. Like,
oh, I was mad.
Maybe we were in the terminal that mostly Asians fly through, and that's what they choose.
I don't know. It was an international terminal, but you would think that they would want to, like, promote the French cuisine to get people to come back.
Or they don't want you there.
That could be, too.
Yep.
That is probably more likely the case. So, you know, we got the guns over there.
Yep.
Sucks that we can't take the ammo. But, you know, so what else are we taking? What are you taking?
So I look at my list, and it's tiered down into what I got to have, like must have, and then into what I want to have. My must haves are things like charging blocks that are internationally rated because they use a 210 or 220 power grid opposed to our 120 AC grid.
Yep.
It's not exactly reliable, and so it has surges, and it doesn't stay at the same level. Sometimes it goes out altogether.
And they have rolling blackouts.
Yep.
Now, you
yep.
came up with a pretty cool idea to kind of combat that rather than plug your phone straight in and risk a surge and fry your phone. You're going to charge a power block and then charge your phone off of that.
Yes. It's a lot safer on the equipment that you can't have go away.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm going to charge a couple power blocks that one I bought in Germany going over last time, and I bought another one while I was here. They can handle my phone 3 or 4 times, my iPad twice. So for my gear, that's going to be the safest bet for me.
So, dear shooter, there is a travel tip for you.
Yeah.
If you're going anywhere with kind of unreliable power, don't plug your critical equipment straight in.
Most times your plugs won't fit without an adapter. And even so, those adapters, some of them are surge protected, some of them are not. Make sure you get one that is, because having something fry, we're talking fireworks and fire at 220.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and everything now that's rechargeable is using like a lithium battery.
Right,
when that stuff burns,
it's bad. So outside that, my electronics, obviously I've got to have them, right? My camera, my access to my emails and ways to communicate home.
Right.
Those are critical for me. Then outside that, it's my creature comforts, like a coffee mug, because they drink tea. When we threw tea in the harbor and said, no, we'll drink coffee, well, here we are, and I can't live without my coffee every morning. So I am packing coffee and my coffee mug.
Fair enough.
I'm thinking I'm not packing enough coffee. I may need to go grab another.
Mm-hmm. Can't have enough coffee. So those are my wants, right? I got to have those in my needs category. My wants are going to be things like my binoculars. Right, a spotting scope, possibly a range finder. We are going to be hunting in wide open country. There'll be some bush involved, but if you don't know the range, it's not safe to take.
Range finder is going to end up in your carry-on because it's lithium.
Oh, I'm sure of it. I mean, my carry-on is going to be a little on the heavy side, but that's okay. I got to have that stuff.
Oh, and don't forget the extra change of clothes in your carry-on in case mm-hmm. your luggage doesn't make it the same time you mm-hmm. do.
That's a smart play. In travel and clothes, you don't mind throwing away and buying something new, right? I mean,
except for where you're buying that.
Airports have decent clothing for the most part these days. if you're doing it in country, yeah, you might be screwed. But be aware, you're taking 3 days worth of clothes for a 7 day trip.
All right.
You got 2 days of travel on either side of it. Plan accordingly.
Well, and I'm not foreseeing too much problem with our luggage. We have one layover.
Yep.
So.
And that's in the States still. So.
Right.
So we'll be good there.
And we're not changing airlines this time.
No. It'll be a direct flight out of Newark.
No 12-hour layover in Frankfurt.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God.
Oh, come on. I was.
And I'm sure the German people are super, super nice. But the folks that I met in the airport, no, they can keep them.
Yeah, to be fair, you guys went during COVID. But, you know, hey, they have Jack and Coke in a can.
We did go during COVID, but everywhere else people were nice. Germany wasn't not so nice.
Well.
I'm taking a handful of stuff for the Skinners again. It was really well received. They were a little scared of it because it was so sharp. But they really appreciated it in the long run. Mm. Little things like that, right? Terra Wildlife gave me a shirt last time I was there. I will be wearing that to show that I appreciated it.
I got a tablecloth because they didn't have shirts small enough for me, so I won't be wearing that.
I love that tablecloth.
I do too.
That's the one with the lion paws on it.
Yes.
Yes. They do a lot of artwork with one of the lions there.
They had one of the lions painted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one that does the paw prints.
Yeah,
I
got a piece
stuff.
Of artwork from them.
And you came back last time. You had it was an ostrich egg that was...
It was engraved, and it's got little holes in it because they made it. They blew out the bottom of it. It's kind of like a little tea light lamp.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
I got one of those too. It has a warthog tusk stand.
Yep, it sure does.
Yeah, it's just little things that when you're at home after a trip like that, and you can look around your house and see something that sparks a memory, it's worth it. I always kind of sneered at the tchotchkes and the little tourist trap stuff, and. No, a trip like that, you need a little bit of that stuff.
Yeah, but what you brought back, you know, like that ostrich egg and the tablecloth, that to me is not touristy crap, you know? It's like, that was one of the things that bugged the hell out of me when we were in Ireland, is the only thing that we could find that wasn't made in China was we found a lot of the clothing shops, and it was Irish wool. And that was it, like. Everything else was made in China.
I'll be damned. I'll have to look at my egg, though. I hope it doesn't say made in China.
It might. I got my mom, when we went to Ireland, a little shamrock card. It's encased in plastic and stuff and does their little saying with it. So the shamrock came from China.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They are the industrial nation of the planet.
But, you know, there's other things we will probably have mounts done.
Oh, yeah, the taxidermy side.
So those come back, and if you don't get anything else, that's enough for me.
Sure.
Right. Every time I walk in the house, I'm greeted by your Impala.
Yep, because he's better than yours.
I haven't gotten mine
yet. Impala yet.
It's still going to be better.
Well, that might
remember
be true.
Remember, we went right after they released so we could fly after the COVID restrictions lifted. So those animals hadn't been hunted in what?
Year and a half, I thought, by the time you guys got there.
It's been a while.
And now, I know they've had hunters. I follow them on social media.
They've got a group in there right now. And I told Ralph, my PH, that if he's got a sable picked out for me, he better tell them that that's a bush.
Well, he's good at that, so.
Well, it's my fault. I got over there the first time, and there are 297 different DLA type of animals, deer-like animals, running around. And they're almost all a species of antelope in some way.
Right.
And so I kept asking him, what's that? And he'd tell me. He, you know, at the beginning, the first 3 days, he was quite happy to tell me. Day four, I'd go, hey, what's that? He goes, it's a bush. Because no matter what I pointed out, he's either already told me what it was or... he was done with me.
Little of both.
Either way, it was still funny. And he just sent me a smiley emoji when I told him that about the sable. So I'm not sure if that meant I will handle it or good luck.
Probably a little of both.
Now, it's going to be quite interesting. How many hunters do we have? If I'm sharing a package with Jason, so technically two people who would be hunting, plus you, plus two others. So there's going to be five hunters.
So there's Jason, Jared.
Jason. There's three of us.
Jason, Jared. Yep. Yep. And then.
And you.
And then there is Brandy and Jamie and Angela.
And Jamie.
I think one of the Jamies and Angela are strictly observer. They have no interest in pulling a trigger. Jamie has expressed that she might like to shoot a warthog or something. All right, cool. We'll make that happen. And you're sharing with Jason here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that the PH separates out the hunters and observers because the PH has to dedicate time with each hunter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's extra. It costs more because that's another employee they have by South African law. And I didn't know this until we got almost done with the trip last time, but a professional hunter in South Africa is a licensed professional hunter. They go through a rigorous set of testing and classes and licensing to be able to legally take folks on a hunt. Up until the point where they have to know the terminal ballistics and how to identify them after the shot's made, of what caliber it was and how it performed and what animal it's in. And, I mean, they had to know biology and ballistics and tracking and environmentals and safety. And there is a ton of education that goes into being a professional hunter in South Africa.
And they all have to wear shorts. I'm pretty sure that's in the book.
Shorts, wool socks, and hiking boots. Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting from the education side. I would be really interested to see what that education truly looks like, because to know all that.
And just ask Ralph. One night after he's had about one or two beers, just ask him, and he'll tell you. It's quite the process. I was impressed. I had no idea. You know, they talk kind of funny, and they're super nice people, and you get them in the field, and they are professionals. They know exactly what's going on. When they tell you an animal's a shooter or not, and they roughly give you a score guide on it, they're usually within 5 or 6 inches and points.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty good. They know exactly what's doing.
That's cool. Well, I'm excited to step off and go on an adventure. And for those of you listening, definitely send happy birthday wishes to both Jason and Brandy. They are both getting old this month.
That's right. She before me.
Tomorrow.
Older the wiser.
That's what you keep saying.
So it's wiser.
Evidence to the contrary.
You'll never catch up.
You're right. I will never catch up. Is that by design, maybe?
Maybe.
We'll never catch up to her regardless.
This may be true.
So, this is going to be a great trip, great adventure, and we can't wait to tell you guys about it when we get back. And when I start breaking things, I'm just going to keep blaming my gun.